I'm Chris Bergwald.
I'm Father Scott Trainer.
And we want to welcome you to this sixth video on the book From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. Father, video number six, looking at chapter number five, because now we're all messed up and our engineer brains are like, what's going on? But chapter four and actually chapter five were long enough where we decided we wanted to break them up into a couple of videos. Yeah. So the title of chapter five, The Key Task, again, thinking back to chapter four, is about how do we develop the pastoral strategy. Now, the key task is the conversion of the mind to a new way of seeing. And I think for both of us, the title called to mind what Paul says in his letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verse 2.
Be transformed by the renewal of your mind, right? So that when I have a shift in this ruling imaginative vision of the world, the truth about God and the world, myself, in relationship to the other two, that actually transforms my life. There's a downriver effect in a real change of life when there is a conversion of my ruling imaginative vision.
Exactly. So what we're seeing, this chapter is broken up into three parts. There's several pages, actually, an untitled introduction, just looking at this main evangelical task of conversion of mind. And then the second section that we'll be looking at in this video is going to be on the Christian way of seeing. And then next video, we'll look at the modern progressive way of seeing, the other story, if you will. But we're going to be talking in this video and the next video a lot about story, about narrative, in terms of how we see reality with a particular story or narrative that governs all of that.
So we live in time, right? And this is why, without like formal training or intentional study, we all adopt a narrative arc, a narrative understanding that we're calling a ruling imaginative vision.
Yep.
It's a story that I tell myself about my experiences into which I interpret and come to understand the experiences that I have. It has to fit into a story because I'm a person who moves through time.
Right. And so it's how I understand the world and it's how I live and act and move in the world. Yeah. So it's sort of the lens through which I see the world, but it's also the means by which I live in the world.
Amen.
And the point of this chapter is that we have to, for ourselves, but maybe those who we have responsibility for, who we have influence over, we need to convert that ruling imaginative vision from maybe the one that we've absorbed from the culture, and we'll look at what that looks like in the next video, to this more Christian way of seeing. And it's not – so we've talked – you know, Father, it's been several videos since we talked about the Debbie Doubter data, so we should probably talk about the Debbie Doubter data just briefly. It'd be really easy to look at that and, okay, so what are we going to do? We got to teach the faith better. Mm. We got to teach the moral teachings more. We have to help them to enter into the organization that is a church. Well, we do need to do all of those things, but they're not the most important thing. I don't think that when we look at how people are leaving in our country, if it wasn't for people coming in from Hispanic cultures, we'd be really seriously declining. The answer isn't just more, better information transmission from my brain to theirs.
Yeah. So let's think about this for a second. These propositions, God exists, that heaven and hell are real, that angels and demons are real. There's a whole invisible part of creation. That final judgment is real. God came into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, and became man. God, Emmanuel, God with us. Like, if my preaching, even to mass-going Catholics, just assumes that they all agree about that, that's why I can miss the mark. And if I'm thinking that the main task is actually to help them live those truths more coherently, like a moral conversion, I may be missing the mark.
Right.
Because it's a hasty presumption that they all agree on that. Because we're all living in a world that breathes air that does not include those truths.
Right.
Does God exist? There's a renaissance of atheist evangelists out there, you know?
Absolutely.
And what is that God like? Is he involved in my life? Does he make a difference in my life? Does he actually matter in my life? There's a lot of different opinions in the world about that. Is judgment real? Like, is this 80 or 90 or 110 years I have in this world, is that going to have eternal consequences? Or is it just as long as I'm not a genocidal maniac that, of course, I'm going to go to heaven, whatever heaven is? Like, these are not things we're all together on because we don't live in a Christendom culture. We don't have that those common elements of a ruling imaginative vision. So my preaching needs to be, and the task of other education and formation needs to be bolstering up and trying to bring about the conversion of that those
right.
imaginative elements.
So that we're seeing, and not just like throwing them sort of hodgepodge randomly, but that there's a coherent
story.
Here. It's about a way of not just knowing things, but again, about how do I see reality? How do I live in reality? I love some of those illusions. Drawing there's one in particular where it looks like a young woman who's turned away, but if you kind of change how you're seeing the image, it looks like an old woman, almost like a witch,
yeah.
who's looking towards
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And how you which woman you see depends on literally the perspective that you take.
It's a total paradigm shift.
Exactly.
Right? And this is challenging because this imaginative, really an imaginative vision, a lot of times we take for granted. Like,
yep.
I know that God created me. And I know that he created me to be in friendship with him. And I've squandered that friendship through sin. But God so loved me that he gave Jesus, that I might not die but have everlasting life. And that gift of God's love calls for a personal response. Like, I know those things in my bones, but it takes, in this age, I need to step back from that and say, wait a minute, not everyone else shares that conviction.
Right.
And so how can I help bridge the gap from what I'm convinced about and not just be like preaching or witnessing presumptively like, oh, of course, you all know that too.
And I think what you said, you know it, but you don't just know it in a purely notional, conceptual sense. You said, I know it in my bones. Like,
yeah.
You know it. It's what defines your understanding of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the second part of this chapter gets into Christian way of seeing. And it really is a story.
It is, yeah. It's the greatest adventure story ever. And it's real.
It's real.
Every other adventure story, epic, Lord of the Rings, whatever epic adventures you can come up with, the Chronicles of Narnia, they are poor two-dimensional shadows of the true adventure that we are all caught up into. And that is the winning proposition for men and women of our day today, to propose this grand adventure and narrative, this God's story about our life. The story of God's love for us.
Yeah, so we're not just reading it like pages in a book or seeing it like a movie on a screen. We are living. We're in it. Whether
in
or not you're Christian or not, whether or not you're, I loved your video. I'm a soggy log or I'm a blazing log. We're part of this story.
Mm-hmm.
We're invited to become that blazing log.
Yep.
So real briefly, Father, what are the elements of the story of Christianity? And I think you sort of alluded to them a little bit earlier.
Yeah, I mean, those 4 points I gave is, you know, how do you give the basic gospel message in 4 steps, you know, which is something I learned from, guess what, my apostolically minded evangelical friends, not from my Catholic friends, first of all. But the church has the deep wisdom behind each of those simple points. But, you know, that the world is created by God, right? That the world didn't just sort of poof into being.
Right.
It was created by God for a purpose. And that purpose was to sustain human beings. And God created human beings in his image and likeness, unique from every other creature, because we can share in his life and love. And everything else was created for our sake to help us enter into life with God. That we rejected God's gift and love and separated ourselves from God, who is the source of our lives, through sin. So the wage of sin is death, and it's a disaster. But God didn't leave us in that disaster. He responded to our sin with the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who freely laid down his life to pay the price for our sins and to reconcile us with God and open for us the gates of eternal life. That Christ established a church to be, I love this image they use in the chapter, a colony of heaven in the world,
amen.
Right? Where we get a foretaste of our eternal destiny with God. And that fact is part of the story, that my choices day to day in life have eternal consequences. We're all going to live forever. The only question is, will we live in eternal happiness beyond all we can ask or imagine, or eternal misery and suffering worse than any torment we've ever experienced?
Exactly.
That judgment is real, that God has a plan of love for us, how to live our lives day by day and to serve our brothers and sisters, to come into the fullness of life that he wants for us. All of these things are part and parcel of this grand story of God's saving love in history, of which you and I and every other person we meet, whether they acknowledge it or not, are all caught up.
Amen. Amen. So it is a great story that we are all invited to live in. The next section, which in the next video is going to look at the other story that we're facing in the world, but we'll say that for the next video.
All right.
So that, again, wraps up this 6th video from Christendom and Apostolic Mission. Check out the additional resources for more information to help you bring these words to life in your own setting.